As we look at Ephesians 4, just praying, I really believe God wants to do a reset in my life. I'm sure he wants to do a reset in your life as we start the new year. And what a reset is all right, let's hit a stop button, focus on what we're supposed to be, and we'll move forward from there. And when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to a very healthy, strong church. And let me say this, does the church at Ephesus exist today? No, it does not. In fact, later in Revelation, Jesus tells the Apostle John, I want you to write a letter to him. And in that letter, he says, y'all need to repent because you've forgotten your first love. And if you don't repent, I'm going to take my lampstand, which means his spirit, the anointing of his church, away from you. And that church no longer exists. So can covenant die? Absolutely. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd of this church, the leader. And so as long as we follow him, we'll be okay. But Paul writes to this church and he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Endoio is the Greek word. And literally, I want you to think of having some coveralls on, or I want you to think kind of science fiction that you can just unzip this clay container, your flesh off, the dirty self, and you can take it off. And then now what you're going to do is step into some new coveralls or some new skin, a new you. And that's what he says. I want you to put off your old self, the old things that you've done, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. This whole thing's a battle for our mind. But then he says this, to put on the new self. And that's where you're stepping into that new pair of coveralls, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And guys, my heart as a pastor for 2023, as I said these things, I want people to see the love of Christ, the peace, the joy, the hope, his love. I want him to be seen living in me. But I also want him to be seen living in you and those attributes, because that's what the world doesn't see. World sees, oh, we're Christian, we're judgment. They know what we are against. They don't know what we're for. And we're for Jesus Christ. And we're for traditional marriage. We're for things that you see in the Bible, but we have to show love, peace, joy, and hope in those attributes. Amen? And so Paul is telling us to take off the old self for this new year. Put on the new you through Jesus Christ, created to be like God. Now, man, I could start chasing some rabbits real quick as dozens of verses in the New Testament start popping up in my mind. But I'm not going to do that. What I want to talk to you is four preparation steps for a life reset. Today's the new year. Can I brag on to you for a moment? Beverly's given me permission. Thank you. If you were here Christmas Eve, thank you. If you were here Christmas Day, God bless you. And God bless you for being here today. There's something about being with the family of God on Sunday that's important. Now, I'm not throwing rocks or tossing hand grenades, but what I am trying to say is that when we talk about a life reset, I have to have Jesus, and I got to be amongst his people. And that's what I want to talk about. Let's talk about these four preparation steps. One, the first one is start asking God to do something new in you or in me. And that's a big question. If you look at Revelation 21, Jesus says, the Bible says, he was sitting on the throne talking about Jesus, and he says, I'm making everything boring. I'm making everything where everybody's happy. No. He says, I'm making everything new. One day, everything is going to be made new. And the question is, do you want to be made new today or not? And so we start asking God to do something new in our lives. And we're not just saying, God, do something new. We're going to be very specific. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Isaiah tells us, the Lord says, forget what happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It is already happening. Don't you see it? Hear me carefully. You are a product of your past, but you're not a prisoner of it. You're a product of your past. We're here shaped through our past. Maybe our parents did a good job, horrible job, great job, but we're a product of it. But that does not mean we're a prisoner of our past, because Jesus Christ came to free us. And he gives us a new chance, a new life. And as we look at resetting our lives where we can walk with Christ, God's saying, forget about the past. Forget about your stumbles and your failures. I've forgiven, I've cleansed. Let's talk about the new. Let's talk about what we see God doing. And I want you to think about what God's doing in your life this morning. The psalmist, and I love this out of the Message translation. David, he's confessing sin. He says this, God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Take a fresh start in me. Change me. And then out of this chaos, create and shape a Genesis week. Out of the chaos and disorder of this universe, God created it. And he shaped it with organization. God wants to do that to your life. The question is, you got to ask God to start something new in you. And here's the big issue for us as Christians. James 4:2, you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And so now we have to start asking God, what do you want to do in us? And then we change ourselves and we start working on it. God wants to do bigger things in your life than what you're giving him credit for. He wants to work through you to change some incredible lives. I want to tell the story of Edward Kimball, but I've shared it so many times. I know we got a bunch of new people here. How many of you remember the story of Edward Kimball? Okay. A couple of you and some of the elders. All right, let me remind you. Edward Kimball in the late 1800s was a Sunday school teacher, sixth grade boys. And he decided he was going to do something new. He decided that he was going to start fulfilling the Great Commission, and he was going to talk to his boys about their relationship with Christ. And so he goes and he talks to each child, and one day he walks into a shoe store that this young boy's uncle owned where he was working, and he sits down, talks to the sixth grade kid, and he leads D.L. Moody to Christ. Now some of you are going, oh, I remember this story now. D.L. Moody becomes the great evangelist of the late 1800s. Now, while D.L. Moody is preaching, you know, as the story goes, there's others that come to Christ because of his ministry. Billy Sunday, great evangelist, the early 1900s. There was another guy named Mordecai Ham that comes to Christ, great evangelist in the southeast United States. And it's at one of his revivals that a young man named Billy Graham walks the aisle. One man, Edward Kimball, said, I'm going to do a life reset, and I'm going to focus on the Great Commission. And this morning I talked to the men, and I showed them in the Bible that the Great Commission is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Five times. Because it's that important. That lost people die and go to hell unless we do something different. And if you're here and you've never, well, you're here. That's a Davidism. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, guys, you're heading to hell. There's only one way for salvation, that's Jesus Christ. And that's what we preach as a church. And Jesus says through the Apostle James, you do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. And I'm asking you, ask God to give you his peace, his joy, his hope, his love. And then to pray that as you serve other people with those attributes, that people would see Christ living in you. The second thing, preparation step, is that Tell God specifically what I want to change in me. Where do I need a reset? Paul says to one of the most messed up churches, the Corinthians, look closely at yourselves, test yourselves to see if you're living in the faith. You know that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test. And, you know, there's two simple tests, really, to see about your walk with Christ. Look at your checkbook and look at your calendar. And when you look at your calendar, you're talking about how much time am I setting aside to spend with Jesus Christ. Now, in your handout, I've given you some things to check. I just want you to take time to look at that. Maybe you need a reset today in your connection to God. If so, check it. Or your health. Usually everybody says, oh, I need to lose weight, and so the gym will be full for the next couple of weeks. You know, by June, the owners are wondering, should we have it open or not? Your priorities, your relationships, hobbies, your confidence, your career. How about your thought life, your parenting, your schedule, finances, your dream? What is God wanting to do in your life? Now, as you check those things, that's where you're getting specific to give to God. Now, unfortunately, some of you won't check a block in here. You know why? Because you're perfect. And in fact, I need you to come up here and you preach so I can sit down, because I'm not perfect. But you have your act together and you're not going to check a box because you're not going to be true to yourself. And I'm not joking. You need to go through that list and ask God, what do I need to reset? It's right there. Because if you choose not to, Romans 12:3, because God has given me a special gift, I have something to say to everyone among you. Do not think you're better than you are. You must decide what you really are by the amount of faith God has given you. Little faith can move mountains. Big faith can move a galaxy. God's given you faith. But we have to realign ourselves with Him. Work through that box. Commit yourself to the Lord. Ask Him to specifically to work in your life. The third thing I would encourage you to do in preparation is to find some strong Christians to support my reset. Now, I believe everybody in this room, every member of Covenant Fellowship, should be in a small group, a life group, Bible study group, because it's there where you grow. Iron sharpens iron. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he writes, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You need other people in your life. That's what I love about Celebrate Recovery and how they're working, the step studies. And man, you want to talk about some doctrine and accountability? You need to get involved in those. But the basic level is in a small group. If you're not in a small group, you're missing out in helping others, but also being shaped by you. And so find some strong Christians to hang out with. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says this: if one person falls, then the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And unfortunately, you know, we as churches, you know what we love to do? We love to shoot people. You know, Tuesday I was having a blah day, and, you know, I know what you're saying is a blah day. I was depressed. And as I was talking to some people, then it came out, well, you need to do this, that. Actually, what I was needing was someone just to say, David, let me pray for you. We are so good at shooting our wounded, shooting people when they struggle. And we need to understand that community is God's antidote to discouragement, defeat, and failure. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, just as our body has many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And guys, if I've looked through the Bible, there's one spiritual gift I have not found in Scripture: pew sitting. God has not called you to come in church and sit in a pew. He's called you to come and to grow and to be transformed. Amen? Amen. And can I preach from my heart just for a moment? Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you. She's given me permission. Do you ever have days where you feel like you don't want to come to church? And I'm the pastor. But you realize that if you don't show up, and a lot of people know the junk that I have to deal with, the stuff, the messiness, and it gets discouraging. But I also know the junk and the messy stuff you're going through. But when we both come and we see each other, we encourage each other because it hadn't got us down. But when I come and you're not here, boy, it pops you. You're going, are they letting this knock you out? Or if I'm not here, are they letting this knock you out, Pastor? But when we come together as a group, we're telling the devil, hit us with your best shot. You're not knocking us out because our God is greater. Amen. And that's why I say thank you for coming Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and today. The world's going to throw these holidays at us, but God says, I'm worthy of worship. And we need to worship as a community. Now, I know there's times you're sick and vacation. I get that. And I'm not condemning those things. Please hear me. But I am saying, when you put being with the body of Christ at a lower level than your other priorities, there's something messed up. And right now, the Church of Jesus Christ in America is messed up. And we need to hit a reset. And one of God's reset is community. That's why he says in Hebrews 10, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. You know what that means? It's going to get worse before he comes. Are we going to stand up and be the light for Jesus? The fourth thing, last point that I want to make this morning. I must eliminate anything unhelpful or unhealthy. Anything that's unhelpful, helpful, or unhealthy in your life, you need to eliminate it. Get rid of it. You know, later this spring, we're going to do a fast before Easter. 21-day fast, not a long fast. But I'm going to ask some of you, or let me rephrase that. In that fast, you're going to give up something. Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to give up. But for some of you, like me, maybe it's our social media. Maybe it is that we're spending more time looking at the internet than we are spending time with God. And I'm meddling. I know that. I've gone from preaching to meddling. God wants the right priority, the right balance. And the Bible says, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of people whose lives tells us what faith means, we're talking about those who've lived the faith and now with the Lord, they've left an example for us. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. So the stuff in your life in this reset that you know that's unhealthy, that is unhelpful, we have to get rid of it. Alone, you can't do it. But with the power of Jesus Christ, you now have the choice to say no. Hebrews 12:1-2. Same passage, but now in a little bit more modern translation. Such a large cloud of witnesses is all around us, so we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. And so in this reset, we're getting rid of the stuff that's unhealthy, the stuff that's not helpful, and we're putting our eyes on Christ. We're getting moving the sin aside. We're saying no so that we can say yes to Jesus. And so a question comes, and this is still part of that fourth point. What do I need to get rid of or let go in order to prepare my life, prepare for my life reset? And Colossians has a lot to say. At one point, you yourselves used to live according to such desires. That's the desires of the world, to do stupid things. When your life was dominated by them, but now you must get rid of those things. Anger, passion, hurtful feelings, frustration. No insults or obscure talk must ever come from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you've put off the old self and with its habits and put on the new self. Jamie, can you go back to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24? Teachable moment. Beginning of this morning's message, put on or put off and then put on. A church, the Ephesus church. Church at Colossae, or what we call the Colossian church. Now go back to Colossians 3, 7 and 10. The bottom line, guys, do not lie to one another, for you've put off the old self with its habits and put on the new self. With Christ in this reset, you can stop doing bad stuff. The stuff that hinders, that ties you down. And you can start doing the good stuff with the power of Christ, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen? You know, I have two more verses, or a couple more verses. Jamie, we're going to chase a rabbit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, if I remember right. Yeah, Jamie's good. Thank you. I mean, Jamie's awesome. I didn't say awful, I said awesome. Okay, thank you. This is elementary doctrine. His divine power, what is that? His Holy Spirit. Now, where does His Holy Spirit live? In me. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, He lives in you. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. Wow. That means as we know Christ more and more, we get stronger. He's given us everything. His Spirit lives in us. So it's now a choice. Yes to a reset and yes to the Holy Spirit, or no to God, and then we keep living the cruddy, crappy life that keeps getting you in trouble. Verse 4. Through these He's given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. What does that mean? You act like Jesus Christ, because He's dwelling in you, so that you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You see, the Holy Spirit, if we hit a reset saying, yes, God, help me in these areas, Holy Spirit's going to give you the knowledge, the power to say no to that junk and yes to Him. And you know what happens when a world starts seeing love, peace, joy, hope, and Jesus? That's what I need. But until they see it living in us, it's not going to happen. They don't want to hear it. They want to see it. And that's why I'm brokenhearted as a pastor. We're so focused on materialistic results and stuff that we're not looking at the spiritual changes. It becomes discouraging. But then when we read Isaiah 54... Thank you, Jamie. The mountains may move and the hills may shake, but my kindness will never depart from you. My promise of peace will never change. Wow, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Your suffering, comfortless, storm-ravaged city, I will rebuild your city with precious stones. I will reset your foundation with sapphires. Now, I went back and looked up that Hebrew word for reset. Now, it doesn't really say reset in English, but the imagery, Hebrew is a picturistic language, imagery. You know, Greek is science. You know, NASA would use Greek. Artists would use Hebrew, okay? Kind of paint that picture. The word, though, does mean to rebuild and to reset everything in alignment. And so God wants to rebuild a foundation in your life. And that foundation's Jesus Christ, but you got to let it happen. Makes you wonder how many people really want that. Job writes this, put your heart right. Reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Your life will be brighter than sunshine at noon, and your life's darkest hours will shine like the dawn. You will live secure and full of hope. God will protect you and give you rest. What a blessing. Last verse that I want to share with you, 2 Corinthians 5. This is from the Living Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. And so as we press the reset button today, do you want to be a new person, a different person? Then give your life to Jesus. Rededicate yourself if you're a follower of Christ. If not, gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Y'all remember that hee-haw song? And you'll be singing and you're wondering, God hates me. No, he doesn't. God loves us. He does allow us to go through hard times. You know, it's almost a year ago that our house flooded. And my wife and I have been thinking about that year and how it's opened up the opportunities to talk to our neighbors about Christ. Sometimes God does take us through bad things so that people can see the goodness of God. But it starts with a life reset today. And I'm going to ask you to do that reset. If you don't have the peace of God in your life and it's not being seen, would you ask Him to fill you with His Spirit so that you can show that peace, that joy, that happiness, that love? Because this is what the devil wants to do. This is you. Holy Spirit's in you, Christ living in you, that's the white candle. The other candles, love, peace, hope, and joy. Some will debate the second candle's faith, but we're Baptists, so we can do what we want, all right? But this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to snuff out the life, the light in your life. Will you rededicate? Would you hit that reset button today? Father God, as we pray before you, thank you for being merciful and loving us. Father, our prayer today is that people would see your joy in us, your love, your hope, your peace, you living in us. If there's, Father, one that's never trusted Jesus Christ today as Lord and Savior, my prayer is that they would ask you into their life. How do you ask Jesus? Simply tell Jesus that you acknowledge he died on a cross for your sins and that he rose from the grave. We call that Easter, the resurrection. And if you ask him, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins? He will. And then he asks you to make a commitment to follow him every day for the rest of your life. So you tell Jesus, Jesus, forgive me. I make a commitment to follow you every day for the rest of my life. Save me, Jesus. And he will. The Bible says if we call upon him, he will save us. Father, hear our prayers as we reset our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we join our praise team in singing, Build My Life.